miss Andriana Furs After Christmas Super Sale. Save 60% off every garment, every jacket, every magnificent fur, shearling, or fur-trimmed cashmere coat. Plus, all accessories. Come and get incredible buys on beautiful $10,000 mink jackets. Now only $3,900. Stunning female mink coats. Normally $12,000 are unbelievably priced at $4,700. Take home a $4,500 designer shearling coat for just $1,700. Get special deals on his and hers bomber jackets. Your coat is here. Come and get it during the After Christmas Super Sale at Andriana Furs, 2201 West 95th. Visit AndrianaFurs.com.
Feel the warmth and luxury that you deserve. Andriana Furs.
Suburban Tire, Chicagoland's premier tire dealer and the Michelin Premier Family of Tires, offers you a tire with groundbreaking EverGrip wet braking technology to provide you a tire that's safe when new and safe when worn. Suburban Tire is offering oil changes as low as $20, alignments for $40, and brake service as low as $80. For over 40 years, Suburban Tire has been providing honest advice on tires, automotive repairs, and maintenance. Visit their flagship location in Glendale Heights or any of their five family-owned locations, or go to suburbantire.com, 630-790-1600.
Brought to you by AbbVie.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. And 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This hour is brought to you by Schaumburg Honda Automobiles. When searching for a new Honda, search for SchaumburgHondaAutos.com.
What do you hear? What do you say?
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
The Cubs made the biggest free agent splash of the offseason thus far, signing starting pitcher Yu Darvish to a six-year deal worth $126 million.
Did he go? They will ask. He did. Martinez strikes out, and Yu Darvish strikes out the side.
I've always thought him to be a very good command pitcher. I've always seen good stuff from him. When he's got it all going on, I've always thought he's one of the better pitchers, one of the best pitchers in the game.
Yeah, let's take a look at his scouting report. You know what? I don't know where he lives. I'm sure he has a kitchen sink. He would probably throw that up there, too, if he could.
3-2 breaking ball called, strike three. Gets him with a backdoor breaking ball for strikeout number 10.
Real powerhouse pitcher there. For him to get added on to the staff that we already got, it's a cherry on top right there. And, you know, I know everyone in the clubhouse is excited, and I sure hope he's excited, too, to be a part of this.
The starting pitcher, Yu Darvish, going for the Cubs. It's on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. He got him.
It's about to go. Next.
Bernstein and Golf, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The 2018 Toyota Corolla offers plenty of tech and style with available sport gauge cluster, color, multi-information display, paddle shifters, and sport mode. Come check out the Corolla at the Chicago Auto Show. We're in sport mode. We're in the sports corner. That's how sportsy we are, because there's sports going on.
There's so much sports in this corner.
We have all the sports.
You won't be able to handle it.
All of the sports have been brought to this corner. You have to come here.
They're negative sports in the other corner.
Right.
Like, you owe sports when you walk over to
they
the
ask you to give them sports.
Yeah, this is cool. The carpet is clean. The cars are shiny. The hostesses are smiling. You know, there's a lot of old brothers walking around, like, all right, I guess we're going to go to the auto show, babes, like my man right here. You know, everybody's just hanging out, taking a Monday off of work. You know, maybe they doubled up on the snow day on Friday and just said, to hell with it, four-day weekend.
That was BS, that snow day. That was just...
You and my lady get irrationally angry about not enough inclement weather coming your way when the inclement weather is supposed to come your way. Like, I love it. Like, she's like, it's not going to happen like that. It's going to be like 6 inches. Everybody's going to be all upset. And then you're the same way. Like, just anecdotally, because it didn't happen that way the last time, she doesn't believe the weather report anytime it happens. It's ridiculous.
It didn't happen like that last time they told us it was going to happen. And you know I'm radar guy.
Yes,
so
I know.
I'm always looking at everything. And my wife is always like, it's probably wrong. I said, honey, it's the radar.
Right, it's a green blob.
It's literally, this is actually there. This is not
mess.
A forecast. This isn't somebody estimating. It's not the Farmer's Almanac. I don't believe it. I don't think it's right.
Not believing.
And then when the one time you say, well, his baseball game is going to be canceled because of rain, so don't worry about it. And then it's not because the rain was on the radar, but it was drying up before it hit the ground. And the one time it happens, you're screwed. And she's like, fake radar.
See? That was this fake. Is why I don't listen to the news.
That's why I don't believe in radar. I said, okay. So
you and your mainstream weather.
I said, so when you get on a plane, you don't believe in the instruments. You don't believe,
right.
So you're just, right. You just want the pilot to just go.
Now you're just being an idiot. And then you just have to stop talking because you're going to be in trouble for the rest of the night. But Yu Darvish is a Cub. I put as Keith Jennings would want us to, the Cubs going to the Super Bowl. Listen, the Cubs, it's the Cubs, the Dodgers, and the Nationals again. You feel like you've weakened the Dodgers because you've taken one of their better relievers in Brandon Morrow, and then you've taken one of their better starters, if not, well, you know, obviously Clayton Kershaw is their best starter, but you've taken one of their best starters and Yu Darvish off that roster. Now you just have to, you know, beat the hell out of the NL Central and make it back to the playoffs, and hopefully he's an integral part in another long postseason run.
Do you know what's settling in?
What's that?
Dare I say, and I don't want to make too many sweeping judgments just based on Twitter sample or just based on what I heard as I tuned into the score as we were driving back from skiing. Cubs privilege. I'm starting to get this a little little sense of Cubs privilege here.
I like where you're going with this.
I
love talking about privilege.
I really want you, the Cub fan, to remember what life used to be like. To remember, like, it just think about
get another World Series under their belt before you force them to go back to yesteryear, Dan.
I mean, when you say, they signed Darvish. Yeah. It's probably too much money, and there's bad years on the end of the deal. But they set the market. Mm-hmm.
This was a fan base that hooped and hollered about Jeff Blauser those many years ago.
Come on.
Yeah. I know.
Come on.
No, I know. This is the Big Blue Empire.
Right, but you're carping about what could be a couple bad years on the back of a deal. You won a World Series, and they are doing everything they can to try to win another.
Yes.
And I'm told, by the way, that it wasn't just Chris Jimenez that helped out with this pitch. That the term full court press was used by my Cub source, and he says, and I don't know which two, so I'm not sandbagging you, I'm not holding it, but apparently two veteran Cubs were involved in at least helping in the recruitment of Darvish. And I don't know if it's just text messages, but they know how to play the game.
Hmm.
Now, there's a way you manage these things, a way you make these presentations, a way you do some of the diplomatic outreach, and the Cubs did it. They really wanted Darvish.
Leading up to the signing, did you think it was going to be Darvish? Like, I thought since all the stuff that we had heard or we were contemplating about what might happen, and did the Cubs just put an offer out there and say, hey, come back to us when you're ready to all three of these guys? I thought it was going to end up being Cobb and Darvish and Arrieta would get more money than people thought they would elsewhere.
Initially,
like
I thought
the Cardinals or the Brewers would jump into the fray and say, to hell with it, we might as well go get these Cubs.
I thought it was going to be a trade for Archer. Based on what Theo Epstein said at the conclusion of the season and how he offered.
They were hot on his tail.
He offered the idea. It looked like he was trying to inure the Cub fan to the idea of giving up one of their beloved youngsters.
Ian Happ or somebody like that.
Right, but he prepared for that, and he inoculated against a response there. So my thought was he wouldn't say that he's been transparent about it. If they're thinking about it, they're thinking about it. We know how much they love Schwarber, and then Schwarber lost all the weight and became different.
Yes.
And all of a sudden,
I'm skinny power hitter now.
I'm skinny guy.
Right,
now.
Right.
He's just, I don't know if he's as lovable without the extra weight on him.
I like.
It would be like if Jay Zawoski lost 30 pounds. You wouldn't want to see that, would you?
You'll be able to tell.
Come on. You would.
No, I'm just messing with you.
On him,
Jay, you'd be able to tell. But he'd still be. Would he still have the boxy face?
Who, Jay?
Yeah.
No.
Like, sometimes you lose weight and you never lose it in your face.
But sometimes you lose weight and you look gaunt or unhealthy.
I think sickly Jay.
Yeah, Jay's, like, right where he's supposed to be.
Right.
And I wouldn't want him to.
No ass, talking hockey with, the ginger.
By the way.
What?
Speaking of that.
Talking hockey?
You know,
we don't have to anymore.
You know, I've been that guy.
It's done.
I've been the guy watching.
It's finished. I'm going to the brothers for hockey night on Thursday.
You are?
I think this is going to be the saying goodbye of the hockey. I think we're just going there.
You're going to pour one
out? Just bye, hockey.
Bye, hockey.
See you in 5 years when whoever they draft gets good again. They don't know how to play hockey anymore.
Yeah, they've said goodbye to hockey.
Patty Kane's right there for you.
I believe the slogan.
Getting his shots and his points, though.
The slogan "one goal" has been replaced by "bye hockey."
Yeah, but I mean, hockey fans don't give a damn. Hockey fans aren't hitting us up like, "I can't believe what's going on with the Hawks." They're still shining their old trophies. They're fine. Everything's fine. Like the Cub fan, the Cub fan, Hawks fan is like, yeah, screw hockey right now. I got another World Series I got to prepare for. But like you said, the Cubs privilege thing, we saw a little bit of that before they won the World Series, where Theo came and it was like, all right, there's this air of excellence, like this understanding that it's like the Yankees thing, it's like the Dodgers thing, it's like. The Boston Red Sox thing, which became that, okay, we are supposed to be in the running for every major free agent, and once one comes here,
and not
act like you've been here before.
Not pretend in the running.
No.
Not like...
No,
not
there's
like,
three teams that will get a guy. The like Cubs need to be in there.
It's not the equivalent of, like, DePaul with Kentucky recruits and some of those guys. Like,
Tiger Woods, Campbell,
We were down to the Final Four.
No, you weren't.
No, you probably weren't.
Kid never even thought about visiting.
He was lying to you.
Yeah. He did you a favor because, you know, he's got connections on the AAU. Level or something like that.
708 texter says, I wholeheartedly agree. Think about the last 15 years. We're excited to get Matt freaking Garza. Excited about Alfonso Soriano, but yet people want to complain about the last couple of years of a deal for Darvish. Just think about Matt Garza.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to think about Matt Garza. What does this do for Jake, though? Because that's, you talk about buy hockey. That's buy Jake. In big, bold letters. Thank you, but no thank you. And this is a guy who was as good a big game pitcher as the North Side had seen in generations. And now he moves on, maybe to Texas or whoever the hell wants to give him. I wonder if he's going to get more than that 88 that he was rumored to have been offered in the, you know, when these negotiations started. Because if you don't, why don't you kind of look at your agent like, hey, like we talked about Friday, I kind of trust in you to foresee these things happening.
Read the market.
Yes. And if I get 3 for $65 or something like that, thank you, but no thank you to your services after we sign this deal.
That's why I read that piece by John Heyman as Boris Panic. That's what it seemed like to me. It seemed like to me that there was a courtesy call. The Cubs were they wanted to let Boris know that we're doing this deal. These are the numbers. This is the structure of this deal. And I don't know about the rest of it, about what they're spinning. Like, if it falls through, would you be willing to sign for this? And what he's doing using the media in that regard to help himself or help his client.
But they couldn't have used the same template. They couldn't have used the same 6 years, 126 for Jake, right? They couldn't have. Because I don't see how he doesn't jump at that. Knowing which, you don't have a team. Pitchers and catches have reported.
Yeah, panic starting to set in.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
There's no way in hell they offered both the same deal to both pitchers and just waited for the phone to ring from one or the other.
This is Joe in St. Charles. He's on the score. Hello, Joe.
Hi, guys. You know what? One thing I've learned, is that Theo Epstein is one smart guy, and it's fun to talk about trading for this and what this guy should get paid and all that stuff. But I've learned that, man. Just let that guy do his job. And I sure wish the Bears and the Bulls had guys that were that smart making decisions for them, too.
Well, Theo's caught a couple of bricks, too. I mean, we appreciate the call. We've talked about some of the signings in Boston that went awry. You know, the Julio Lugos of the world. The Jason Hayward signing right now doesn't look very good, but you got a World Series, so you're not complaining about it as much as you would be if they hadn't achieved that lofty goal. So, yeah, I mean, the longer you do this job, the more signings that you're going to have that don't look as, you know, fiscally responsible as others. But it's all about the next 3 years and them adding another trophy. That's what it is.
Or three.
That's hard.
Now back it off. Got another trophy. Three trophies.
I'm just saying.
No, too hard. That's too hard.
The contract, you know, pays for itself. You win one in the next 2 or 3 years. He opts back in, then you got some other speaks.
What's crazy is how incremental a signing like the Darvish signing is and how incremental all of this is. That's really what's amazing to
how
me.
So?
Well, for example, we went through the Baseball Prospectus Pacoda projections, and they were at 89 wins.
Right.
And I've been clicking F5.
Just refreshing over and over again.
Ever since I saw
it. Give me that 94.
So, and I tweeted it when I went through and I looked at some of the other projection systems. There's Zips. And there's what's called Steamer. You got to be careful with that one.
Yeah, be careful.
But you start looking at projected wins above replacement individually between Mike Montgomery and Darvish. And Montgomery was like a 1 point something as a starter, and Darvish was around 3.5. So I conservatively figured if there's going to be some attrition and Darvish, because, you know, those numbers sometimes
split the difference a little bit.
I thought it was going to be a 2-win difference in the calculation because I thought that you basically swap out Montgomery for Darvish. Everybody right. in the rotation moves up a slot.
Right.
And then you, or down a slot. Down a slot. What I mean yeah. by up, same thing. You right. just have a better pitcher in a, right. in a lower
right.
spot.
Right. Gotcha.
So as it turned out, they're now at 92. So it was a projection 3-win difference. And part of that is Montgomery's value as a versatile spot starter and multi-use reliever because he's done everything. I mean, you are a better team knowing
he's
that,
your swing guy.
That he's your swing guy, that yeah. knowing he's your emergency guy, and knowing that he can pitch in-game situationally. But, okay, it's rare to have an impact signing, an impact deal that makes a 3-win difference, bang, you go from 89 to 92. And you say, big deal. Okay, well, if that keeps you out of a coin flip game.
Right.
If that means you're that much, you just spent $126 million for that much likelihood. That's what all those millions get you. It's just still.
When you're asking at the end of the season, what'd you pay for?
When all is said and done around the edges.
You paid to stay away from the coin flip.
That's what you're paying for. And when once the playoffs start, nobody can predict anything. That's why he had a bad game. Okay, he had a bad game. Even when you get down to somebody, well, he's been bad in the postseason. Well, the postseason is hard, and it's a small sample of games. So I don't go crazy with some guy just because that's the whole clutch choke thing of trying to say, well, he's bad when it counts. I don't necessarily think that's true. Given enough time, given enough of a sample, somebody is going to be who he is.
So what we're looking at here is the NL Central getting a little bit better if you think the Brewers' big day that they had with Kane and Yelich makes them a better team.
It does.
It does.
They're
it does.
Better.
And say they go out and get Arrieta, or say Arrieta goes to St. Louis because he's lost his mind the same way, you know, Dexter Fowler did, and you gotta work somewhere. What I'm looking at here is the Nationals beating the hell out of that bad division because the NL East got nothing for you. The Marlins are going to be bad. The Mets, who knows, and the Braves are in a rebuilding mode. When you talk about that coin flip game, it's the NL West. Barring some unforeseen, you know, cataclysmic event where everybody gets hurt in the NL West and the rest of the NL West is garbage,
right.
You look at what the Rockies have done. You look at the Diamondbacks still being that team that people kind of like every year with Paul Goldschmidt and their pitching. The coin flip game is going to stay in the NL West if you really look at it. So what the Cubs have to do is, yeah, you know, you skip a start here or there. If he starts to fray a little bit, or you start to notice that, all right, this is something that we need to worry about. If any one of your guys, like you said, the value of Mike Montgomery, you're allowed to skip a start if John Lester is not feeling, you know, up to snuff, or if Jose Quintana is out of whack. You're allowed to do those things. The margin for error, we also have to understand the division that they play in is so key. That's why I'm wondering, I'm wondering how good the Brewers are really going to be. Because if you're going to beat up on the Reds, the Pirates pretty much selling everything off. You don't have to worry about them, even though think about 3 years ago what we were talking about with this division, where it was going to be the Pirates and Cardinals and Cubs forever, and now the Pirates have, you know, sold off an MVP candidate.
They couldn't sustain.
Look like they're going to get rid of Garrett Cole at some point as well.
They lose Jung Ho Gung to injury and crime.
I forgot about that. Is it really just as simple as how good the Brewers will be? Because the Cubs are far and away the best team in the division. So if you figure you coast to a division win. If the Brewers are slightly better, but not ridiculously better, the coin flip game stays in the NL West, and we're talking about the same three teams that we were talking about last year, the Nationals, the Dodgers, and the Cubs. It's as simple as that. And you put a dent in the Dodgers.
You've weakened the Dodgers in two places because you've taken one of their high leverage relievers and one of their starters. But again, at the deadline, it's going to reshuffle anyway. That once the cream rises toward the end of July,
who's giving away bullpen assets and all those things.
Exactly. That's when the White Sox will be flipping guys who are throwing 95 and
hopefully.
That's the idea that you'll find veteran relievers who happen to be having a good year and happen to be effective, and then you'll find out who wants to make that investment, and that's going to come down to, again, proximity to the luxury tax, who's going to be worried about then trying to sign Machado or Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And look, there's also crazy possibilities too. Maybe Machado moves at the deadline. What if the Nationals bite it? What if all of a sudden somebody gets hurt and they end up surprisingly bad? What do they do?
A lot of talent though.
What do they do with Harper?
See, it's like the LeBron conversation we were having before they made the big trade. Where do you trade a star and if you know that he's not going to return? I think the Nationals are just too damn talented. Even if Bryce Harper misses a sizable chunk of time with Anthony Rendon,
there's too many automatic wins.
Yeah,
in that.
There's a bunch of automatic losses on those other teams in that division as well. Brian Kinney put together his top 10 right now, and he did one for bullpen guys, relief pitchers going into this season, and how ridiculous relief pitching is every single year. It's a different five or six guys. Corey Knebel and some of these dudes, just wake up out of nowhere and are good. And Brandon Morrow was in that as well. You're going to have to find out. Like, I wonder how long they'll be able to go with Morrow, Edwards, Wilson as their defined late-inning guys. Like,
well, CJ is going to be the wild card. Wilson, I don't know. I hope.
But then you got two wild cards then. Those are the three guys, right? I mean, those are the guys we're talking about at the end of that bullpen, at the back end of that bullpen that have to be successful for them before they, because what you don't want if you're a Cubs fan, average to above average performances by those three guys will get you to.
C-Sheck's going to matter too.
Yeah, true, and Dunsing as well. But you want to get to the trade deadline with enough stability to, it's adding an arm
luxury.
Instead of, oh my God.
Luxury instead of need.
Luxury instead of need.
You want to be at the point where you're adding luxury instead of need, right?
Hopefully those, bullpens are fickle that way, but hopefully those guys can play to the back of their baseball cards just enough that once you get to that point and Ian Happ is still healthy, if you've told yourself going into the season that you can do without Ian Happ or you can do without Albert Almora and say, hey, this guy is going to be great if you give him a chance, give him 550 plate appearances, 600 plate appearances for your team.
Or how about the fact that Javier Baez still isn't a starter on your team?
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
They're going into this year with a guy who's going to be 38 or 37. How old is he going to be? I think his birthday's
right
in May. Anthony is in Schaumburg, and he's on the score. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys. First-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to make a comment and have a question for you guys as well. A lot of rumors were getting thrown around that Alex Cobb wanted 5 years, $80 million. I would much rather not give up a draft pick compensation for him. Where with Darvish, because he was traded midseason, they didn't have to give up any compensation. And I just think it shows the long game that Theo continues to play. He's always trying to stock the system. All their prospects are now on the big league level. They're trying to restock the system. I think it's a win-win in that regard. And they get a draft pick for whoever signs Arrieta. So
you took the words out of my mouth, and I was just going to say that now once you let somebody else take Arrieta off your hands, no matter to the extent that they actually wanted him, now you're going to get that's a sandwich pick in between the first and second round, right?
Is that was my question, and I what draft pick compensation do they will get for Arrieta now?
I believe it's a sandwich pick, but I could be wrong. I might just be completely yanking that out of my arse.
Thank you.
Which is possible.
I mean, that's fine. Every once in a while, you got to yank something out of your arse. Ben Zobrist was born May 26, 1981. He is 36 years old.
But he will be 37 when the season begins, right?
Right.
But I guarantee you, more than once, we are going to read the story that he's rejuvenated. He's found the fountain of youth.
Maybe he did find it.
Where? And when has that been found before anywhere legally?
I was about to say, I can give you some names.
Did you see Bartolo sign a minor league deal?
Of course he did. Of course he did. He's got two families to take care of. What do you mean? like he's got to pitch until he dies. That's a guy who will be...
He's going to be like Julio Franco, where he's going to be pitching in the Mexican League until he's like 62, right?
Front keys for Esteban Loaiza. He's going to run Esteban Loaiza's operation while he's in jail.
Now, that looks like a guy who could fill that role, though, right?
Bartolo? Oh, yeah. Like long-time drug lord, like first-time caller.
Big silk shirt.
A Guaya Bear. No, he's got the Guaya Bear shirt. He's got the chunk latest on. He's just moving around. He's got like a pocket full of change, no draws. He killed one person for breakfast. Like, yeah, Bartolo does look like the drug lord in every, you know, Pablo Escobar, you know, thing on Netflix right now.
Yeah, there's like wherever he is, there's like a giant raw bar behind him.
Hey, what? My guy right here.
What guy?
Stopped and got the fudge.
He did.
The box of fudge.
That weighs 4 pounds.
Hey, dude, it's like $7,000 for like 3 pounds of fudge.
Yeah.
And it never makes it home.
Fudge?
Like, I eat it on the way home. I don't even tell my lady that I bought it because it doesn't exist by the time I got home.
I have a theory.
It's right over. Oh, I'm going to go get some fudge.
No, stop.
Fellas, let's get some fudge.
Because the moment, look, you're going
to
be
miserable. It's the first time I've said that to anybody.
After the third bite, you're going to be miserable. The fudge.
What?
The fudge game.
You spelled elated, happy, very wrong just now. Miserable with fudge?
The fudge game is a racket. And I don't.
What do you mean?
Because I want to know what the markups are. And I know.
Is it Esteban Loaiza's front?
There's got to be something there because.
What are you talking about?
It's butter and sugar.
Yes.
And when did butter and sugar get that expensive? Like, where's the cost?
Because
that
they
allows
add,
the
they,
markup.
They add nuts and drizzles and caramels.
Yeah,
sauce
but nuts,
and...
nuts literally grow on trees. Like where is somehow the
what are you talking
the margins
about?
Where,
why are you worried about that?
Where's the labor
he's
cost
got,
in
he's
the fudge
got
business?
Beauty in a box, and you're worried about how much you spent on it?
I love that movie, by the
Beauty
way.
Beauty in a box. Beauty in a box. Oh, dude, are you
it's
serious?
Chris Ranji.
Right.
It's a woman gets abducted in this darkened castle in the forest, and it turns out
that's
she's...
Box, box. Nobody's box. Got good captors,
right.
Box.
And Belle is living with Chris Ranji, finds
so
his it finds him initially incredibly repulsive, and then learns that underneath
Jesus
all of
Christ.
That, and underneath the glasses and the bushish demeanor, is a heart of gold.
And then Ranji makes her go get a job at Jimmy John's managing.
And then at the end, just as the last rose
Let's
petal
stop.
Falls, the spell is finally broken, but it's still Ranji.
It doesn't change.
He just has different glasses.
I'm fascinated by you wondering about the margins for fudge.
Because it doesn't make sense.
They got you. You're held captive in here. You can go to that 23rd Street Cafe and get a molten lava hot sandwich
hey,
like I got earlier
but
today.
But it's everywhere. Have you ever gone to Kilwin's?
No.
Kilwin's fudge and candies. There it's in every, like, it's in Saugatuck. It's in a lot of the little resort towns.
Okay.
And it's a fudge place. If you get one of those caramel turtles there, it's like $75.
Yes!
And a pound of fudge is like $400.
Yes!
At Trembley's in Hayward. I mentioned it before.
Yeah.
The Trembley's old-fashioned fudge.
Yeah,
that's a place downtown Hayward, Wisconsin. The little old ladies, they pour it out.
Pour it out for
you.
I get in the wagon.
They pour it out of marble kettles onto the copper pot. They take it out of
that.
They literally pull it off his head. That's where the margins are. You got to pay that.
F-150.
And then they pour it out of the marble slab, and then it's like, okay, that'll be all of the money. Like, it's just fudge.
Well, there's no such thing as just fudge.
That's the name of my place, actually.
The knockoff place.
Right. I used to own a Just Pants.
It's a bunch of fudge that has teeth marks in it already. Like,
no,
I got you.
Are you old enough to remember Just Pants?
No.
See, there was in Deerbrook Mall, there was literally a store called Just Pants.
And they sold Just Pants.
However, my belief was the pants there were particularly just. Like they didn't see color.
They're righteous,
right? Exactly. Their worldview was nothing but total equality. That some place would sell like racist pants,
snowflake pants,
right,
liberal
right,
pants,
angry pants. This store had just pants.
God,
pants of justice.
This is why, ladies and gentlemen, you can't take him anywhere.
They've taken me to the auto show.
This guy walked away feeling really poorly about how much money he just spent on 7 pounds of fudge.
Yeah.
There are trucks.
His
over
wife
here.
Was looking at him too. Yeah, how much did you spend on
yeah.
that?
Yeah. What are they talking about, Mike? Mike, are you gambling again, Mike? Are you in the sauce again? Did you go over there drunk and buy 40? I kid you
have
not.
Have you lost your job?
I kid you not. I spent $26 on that fudge last time I was here. I bought like 4 bars. They're legit like 650 for like 8 inches of fudge.
Somewhere.
By the way, don't put that into any of your search tabs.
And also Beauty in the Box. You don't do that either.
$26 for 8 inches of fudge. That's why Backpage got shut down. Jump on Craigslist with that kind of idea. Next thing you know, you're bringing roses somewhere with a tarp already laid down.
This segment was brought to you by Indeed. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire.
This from 708. I'm with Dan. Fudge is glorified brownie mix. What the F is the cost? I don't know. It's not brownies, though. It's fudge. They got white fudge. They got brown fudge. They got stinky fudge. Smelly fudge.
Hairy fudge.
Now we're going to get to your guy, Quentin Tarantino. We're running out of movies we can quote because anybody who made a movie in the last three generations has, like, put their hands on some unsuspecting woman. Like, we can't even quote anything anymore because these clowns can't handle themselves.
Yeah, sucks for us.
Yeah.
We're the real victims.
Right. Us too.
Yeah, we're clearly right. Comedy victims. We can't even make any references anymore because people are being victimized.
Gosh, idiots. Oh, my goodness. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We're talking about you, Darvish. We're talking about the Cubs.
And when we come back, we are going to hear some sound from Rangers pre- and post-game host Jared Sandler. He addressed the issue of new Cub Yu Darvish and pitch tipping, and we'll find out what he thought about that in just a moment.
Scoreboard update.
2:30 from the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, David Schuster with a scoreboard update. The Wolves currently own a franchise record 12-game home winning streak. Catch the hottest team on ice as they return to the Allstate Arena for games Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Visit ChicagoWolves.com for information. Corey Crawford told reporters today that he hopes to play in Blackhawk games again this season, but is not putting a target date on anything. The Hawks, who have lost 5 in a row, they're out in Arizona tonight with Anton Forsberg in goal and Brandon Saad back on the top line. And Zach LaVine is back for the Bulls tonight against Orlando, although Chris Dunn remains out, and Orlando will be with about 4 players, including Aaron Gordon and Nikola Vucevic. Esteban Loaiza will be without his freedom for a while and maybe a lot longer, as the former White Sox pitcher was arrested over the weekend out in San Diego and charged with possession of 20 kilos of heroin and cocaine. And in college hoops, for the first time in 36 years, Virginia, the number one team in the weekly AP poll. They're followed by Michigan State, Villanova, Xavier, and Cincinnati, with Purdue, Texas Tech, Ohio State, Gonzaga, and Auburn 6-10. Visit Toyota at the Chicago Auto Show to learn more about Toyota hybrid technology concept cars and all of the legendary Toyota cars, trucks, and SUVs. Toyota, let's go places. This scoreboard update brought to you by Webb Ford. When searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago, visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. I'm David Schuster, and you are listening to Chicago's number one ranked sports station and the new radio home of the Bulls. Our next game on the score later this evening against Orlando, with Steve Cashel's pregame show starting at 6:45. It's all right here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
look at that.
This is what happens when you come to the auto show. Random strangers give you fudge. I got some fudge. We talked about fudge long
look
enough.
At that. He goes and gets
some. Yeah, that's my guy right there. He has no clue what station we are. He's never listened before, but he's like, hey, the brother and the little guy over there were talking about my fudge long
enough.
You don't
look like Eric and Kathy.
I've long been mistaken for Kathy.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, out of sight, out of mind. You don't know.
She comes back black.
Now we're going to feed her post to column. We have our answer. It's the mysterious disappearance.
This is why she wanted more money. She came back
second.
Black
and
a man.
Another thing.
Another damn thing. This is good.
We're not even drag us
yeah,
out.
We're
here.
Not even drunk. That's no, the bad part about
bad
all this.
Things are gonna
I
happen.
Think the carpet makes you drunk.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Like you're used to walking on carpet that's matted or hardwood floors, but this carpet, it's so plush, it takes away all the.
It makes you feel better.
Yes, like the bounciness of yeah. it. I just want to walk around. Even the carpet on our stage is so soft.
I
want to just rub on it. Okay. I like carpet.
And we're throwing stress balls at children. Make a play.
There it is.
Son.
Yeah.
Ooh, we almost threw his
easy.
Head
yeah,
in the
that'd have been bad. Yeah. That'd have been bad, Tyler.
Sorry, I almost injured your child.
Sorry about that. It'll be all right.
Why is his name going to be Tyler?
What do you think his name is?
Owen.
Or Emmett. Mustafa.
It's definitely
a Mustafa.
It's either, you're right, it's probably Tyler.
Yeah. Come on, man. Any kid that I see at the auto show is either named Tyler, Brian, or Jamal.
All right, so this was earlier today. Jared Sandler, the pre- and post-game host for Rangers Radio, talking to Spiegel and Rosner on the Spiegel and Parkins show about you, Darvish.
Yeah, so I think sometimes, guys, that you know, pitchers will create things that mentally gets them in the right place. Oh, you know, I got rocked on Tuesday because I was tipping my pitches, not because I just wasn't good enough. And in early July, you had some revelation that he was tipping his pitches. He saw film with Doug Brocail, noticed where he might be tipping his pitches, and he came back after that, and I think he had a really good start. And then a few starts later against the Marlins, his last act with the Rangers, I mean, it was clear that something was up because the Marlins were teeing off on Darvish unlike any other instance in which he hasn't pitched well. When Yu does not pitch well, a lot of times it's because of that fastball command, you know, that I was referring to and their walks mixed in. Well, the Marlins were just jumping on first pitches and hitting them, you know, exit velocities that were off the charts for what we're used to seeing from Yu Darvish. So I do think there is something to it. You know, the Astros obviously had a great deal of familiarity with Yu from his time with the Rangers. So if there was a team that was going to expose that, it would be them. But, you know, I never quite take a placebo effect from a, you know, in between the ears standpoint. But I will say that last start against the Marlins was very unique. And then obviously what you saw in the World Series was as well. But I'll tell you this, there are some people in the Rangers organization who will, to a man, say they aren't surprised what happened in the World Series. Because, and this isn't a universally held belief in the organization, but there are some who feel like in those big moments, he does not bring his best stuff. And it's not just big games. There was a lot of criticism of Yu Darvish, let's say a big moment within just an average game in June where it's a 2-1 game in the sixth inning and you just need three more outs out of Darvish and he's facing 7, 8, 9 in the order, should be a piece of cake. And he goes, walks the leadoff man, and he gives up that run. And so I know the win stat is not the best representative of what makes a good pitcher, but for those who really hang on to the win stat, they'd probably point to Yu Darvish and say that he at times didn't do enough within a start to get the outs he needs to help his team and himself get the win. So there could be, I mean, I think there's a lot of fish swimming in the sea between his ears. And like I said, I think sometimes it helps him, other times it doesn't.
Wait, yeah, I was listening intently.
Under the sea.
I got an old crustacean band. That's our second Disney princess movie reference.
Yeah, we're gonna get them all out before the day is over.
So fish swimming in his head? What the hell
in the sea?
In the sea in his head? What are you talking about?
Hey man, he's just trying to say that they're in the big moments, not even just the big games.
You can't
is
offer
that in
that.
Town smart.
Here's my problem. You can't offer that without. Show me the data.
Right, because it sounds anecdotal.
It sounds like you remember it happening, therefore you think it happens a lot. And
so we'd have to look up, you know, count.
Inning. Right.
Yeah.
It's something like that. Sounds like
Scott, get to work.
It sounds like it stands out in Jared Sandler's head because he got burned by it or someone else's head.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
Right, you just
but
need
I'm
the,
not,
the
I'm
empirical
not,
evidence.
Right. I'm not buying that unless it's true. And he's still good. That's
no, he's damn good. Okay. He strikes people out. His K's per nine are what at 11, just underneath 11. The thing that you, and I hate to bag on Jake Arrieta on the way out, but last year you saw a lot of five and fly, and the inning that Yu Darvish will eat up on average that Jake didn't eat up will help your bullpen tremendously.
Over time, yeah. You start adding that up every start if it's an extra inning, and you change the
what do you have, four starts of six or more innings or something like that last year? You got to have more than that. Got to have more than that for
is
a guy.
Is that all he had?
I think I heard it on Mullin Hanley this morning. I think Brian quoted the stat. It was four starts of over six and a third or something like that.
And you wonder why
he was done. He was done after five.
Bullpen's tired.
Yeah, so I'm happy for Cubs fans. You got yourself a top flight guy in the rotation, and worrying about the years. You know, if he opts in,
there's no reason to worry about the years. You're
absolutely
in,
none.
You're in the championship window.
I'm asking you absolutely no.
If you're a Cubs fan, you're
a master debater.
Careful.
Put it right
on all counts.
Put this argument on its ear a little bit. If you are arguing from the other side of, is this a good deal? What would be the cons that you could see from the outset of this deal? Not knowing, you know, every nook and cranny of the deal, understanding where the option is in the deal.
Here's the problem. Because to make that argument, you would have to look at the context of a supposedly neutral team.
Right.
Or like a replacement level team. But you can't look at that. Because every team is operating in its own economy. And for the Cubs economy, for where they are, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying to maximize a championship core right damn now. And you're able to spend less in average annual value. If you were to say, well, you know, it could get us close to the luxury tax, and that would mean we're not going to be in the running, or we're going to have a difficult time paying some of our guys when we start negotiating away some of these years of arbitration. You really can't have a neutral look at a deal that isn't relative to a specific team. And I think for, just as Stonecutter pointed out, if you look at the market and what you actually expect, compare it to the Lester money. It would be like complaining now, anybody retroactively now saying, well, that Lester deal was a mistake.
So you have to win a World Series while Yu Darvish is in a Cubs uniform for this deal to feel good?
Yep. You have to compete for one. You have to be...
Compete or win?
Well, you can never say have to win because it's out of your control. Here's the thing. If you end up in a coin flip game, that's bad.
Because that's what you're paying.
Right. My belief is, ultimately, you're paying for that extra three baseball prospectus projected wins. You're paying to stay out of the coin flip game. And if it's insurance for that, and as long as it doesn't mean it's going to cost you other guys... I just, as a fan, it's not like they're going to charge you any more or less money. You know, it doesn't really affect you, Darvish. It doesn't really affect. It doesn't affect you as a fan.
Right.
So I don't. You're really reaching for something if you're trying to.
But I'm just trying to think about the conversations that were had before the signing was made this weekend. The luxury tax thing was something that was brought up by Theo in the exit presser, and we've talked to Jed about the luxury tax and, you know, making moves just because you're reacting, responding to other teams in the division making moves. I'm not saying that they did that, but does that just kind of go out the window? The luxury tax concerns, does that just go out the window because this was they saw an opportunity to strike and obtain an asset that they, you know, they had their sights on? It's obvious that they had their sights on him, and that this was a place that he wanted to be, and they were just trying to figure out how much money they can get out of anybody else around baseball to kind of leverage it against the Cubs, and in the end, the Cubs win.
Arrieta had eight starts of
eight.
Six and a third or more last year. Four of those, he went seven.
Okay, four for seven. I'm sorry. It was
and
seven.
He, and he did not finish more than seven in any game last year.
That's when you start to ask yourself, how much money are you paying for a guy not finishing his homework? You know, how much money are you paying to save your bullpen in the middle of August when everybody's reeling and, you know, guys are hurt and baseball's getting weird and you're just trying to make it to the playoffs? How much money are you paying to make sure that Justin Wilson isn't getting worked to death, or CJ Edwards isn't getting worked to death, or, you know, Brandon Morrow isn't getting worked to death?
I brought up the concept of Cubs privilege before, and on that subject, Champagne Al says, Cubs fans have been complaining about sensible actions long before they won the World Series. Cubs fans were angry they dumped Rick Renteria in favor of Joe Maddon. Cubs fans were angry that Theo Epstein implemented a strategy that initially produced fewer than 75 wins per season. There's a sect of Cub fandom that wants to complain about sense and then rattle on about bleachers and goats and ridiculous baseball thoughts. Yeah, I've largely tuned out. I don't even...
Most people in the background.
Yeah, and it doesn't even really make me that unhappy anymore. That it used to be a button
spirits
pusher.
Spirits and curses.
It used to be a button pusher for me. And once you win a World Series and enough people know, that got evaporated.
The tone resets itself. The tone...
It has to. You reboot it all.
Even though there was a lot of spirits and curse talk during some of those crazy playoff moments the day after a game that you thought Joe got outmanaged.
Well,
that
wasn't
was
a curse.
Hitting.
That was a manager
right.
being...
That's what I'm saying. It's,
being a goof.
There are enough people who the reflex was still there in their DNA to go back to the spirit and curse talk and all the other stuff. But once you become one of these blue bloods, no pun intended, of baseball, you kind of have to let go of those poor man thoughts. And that's exactly what those have been over the years, is baseball poverty thinking of, the Cubs aren't meant to win or this, that, and the other. No, the Cubs are the evil empire. They are Yankees Midwest. They are Red Sox Midwest. They are out to win titles and put anybody on that damn team that it takes to do it. The Aroldis Chapman thing should have told you that from the jump.
All right, we have an expert opinion on the reason why fudge is expensive. And by the way, what flavor did they?
I didn't even crack it open yet, brother. Hold on.
The pink box is calling. You gotta open that thing. So, an expert baker, our former colleague Julie Swyka, now Julie
Jules.
Cannon. And she's tweeted, she says, in regards to fudge markup, dairy ingredients do fluctuate. Butter, milk, sweetened condensed milk, cream, any of which could be in a fudge recipe, can spike in cost at times. However, she says, I think you're mostly paying for labor, swirling the mixture on the slab. She said, that's all I can think of. But she's a pro. She is a professional
baker. I trust
Julie.
Yeah.
So that would
be
the
man hours that it takes to, it's kind of like, getting one thing replaced on your car and they charge you for an hour of labor and you're like $200 for a $15 part.
You're not going to my guys then.
Yeah. I got sunroof issues now. Like I pressed the button for the sunroof and all I heard was like it didn't move.
I'm like, servo motor or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, I gotta take it back to the dealer and get it initialized or reinitialized. There's gonna be another $200-$300.
Oh, then you gotta pay the reinitialization tax, which is another $200
like, dude,
for the labor on that.
Can you just have like a little person jump on my console and push it? Like just move
like
it for me.
But have him there all the time.
Yeah. Can I just rent one?
And he just stays.
Yeah,
there?
Just hang out. He'd come up and eat. Hang out with me. I need a little buddy.
Have Jace,
me,
do
him
it.
And Jace.
You made a little person.
Yeah, but he's not. He doesn't have those kind of skills yet. I want somebody who's been through a little bit of life and appreciates what I have to offer in the middle console
put
of my
him
car.
To work. Hey, this is the one thing about the snow. I will say this:
the guy got it done.
They went out and I think his little company that they put together, J&J Shoveling.
Mm-hmm.
They made a couple $100, I think.
Yes, yes,
that's pretty
They're
good.
They're smart kids.
Snowmageddon
happens, you go outside and you get dough.
Here's the thing, they did a good job.
Yes, the Bon Lois of the snow.
I was worried that I was going to be like, hey, great job, here's your money, and then I would spend the next 20 minutes
right.
out there cleaning
Redoing
it all up.
It?
No, it was not.
They're at the age where they should get it done, though.
Right, so he's not six, right?
So exactly. You're not sending him out there with like a little floppy shovel like, oh, that was
this
cute.
Right.
No, get out there, I want to see the concrete. I want to be able to have supreme traction.
And because he wanted this video game, like now you can get your video. Have you heard of Fortnite?
Dude, that game apparently is like the new World of Warcraft where like people are staying up 17 straight hours playing this game.
He's obsessed with Fortnite.
Because it's like...
he showed me, he's like, I said, can I watch you play? He's like, well, I'm not very good yet. And he parachutes into this thing.
Oh, it's another world.
He was dead in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, because there's ways to assassinate people.
I said, I don't think you're good at this. You're supposed to die that soon? And he got really mad at
those
me. He's
games
like,
scare
I'm just
me.
Starting. I'm just learning how to play. Leave me alone.
Those games scare me, dude. Like the games where you have just a world that you can explore. Like I bought.
Well, we checked it out though. It's rated teen.
Yeah, no, you're fine. I bought Fallout and I played it for like half an hour. I'm like, no, this is gonna take up way too much of my time. Like, give me a sports game where I know how much time I'm going to allocate to this. It's going to be 35 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm in and out. I get my ass kicked by some, you know, 15-year-old in West Virginia who's, you know, calling me the N-word online or whatever the hell, and I go back to my life. I'm not going to sit here and play a video game for 22 hours straight because I'm living off of Mountain Dew and Cheetos. That's not my life anymore. I changed that. 3 years ago was a long time ago, you know? So, no, Fortnite's one of those joints.
And now it's LaCroix and Cheetos.
Yeah. LaCroix and Sun Chips or whatever we got in there. Yeah, I keep forgetting that we have popcorn. Every time I want a snack, I'm like, I want a snack. I want to get something. She's like, we got popcorn. I'm like, yeah, but I don't want popcorn. She's like, why do you keep buying it then? Because I feel like every house should have popcorn in it. It doesn't
like
make sense.
Like completely filled with it? Like a like, real genius?
Like an NBA prank?
No. Every house should be entirely filled with popcorn.
I feel like every home should have popcorn in it. Just in case, you know, you want a light snack, you don't want something too heavy. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with popcorn.
Yeah,
and don't get that.
Are you a popcorn snob, though?
Don't get that movie butter popcorn either.
Are you particular about your popcorn?
Not really. Whatever. I'm sure I keep buying the same brand, but whatever is on sale, kind of. I don't go store brand very often.
See, my dad's kind of a popcorn snob. He loves it, and he actually like makes it in a pot in a stainless
old
steel
school
pot. And he found this one. It's called Hullless popcorn.
Oh, where you
the three H's? Right. I believe. No,
it's the popcorn that doesn't beat up your spouse.
The hull, right? It doesn't hit her over the head with a shoe.
Right.
The hull is so thin that it disappears when the popcorn pops. So you don't get those things that stick in your gums.
Yeah.
And the actual piece of popcorn once it's popped is about half the size and very delicate. And he does it in olive oil. It's like you don't that the temperature doesn't have to be as high. So you don't have to use crazy high heat. So you can use extra virgin olive oil, like a nice fruity olive oil, and it will pop at a lower temperature. And you put sea salt on there. It's incredible. And he found it from some, I don't know where he, but he like orders it, and I think you can get on Amazon or something like that. But
really?
It's the best popcorn you've ever had in your life.
I'm on it.
Yeah,
I need the hookup then, because I keep buying this microwavable stuff. You know, I don't burn it because every microwave has a popcorn button now, but I keep buying this microwavable stuff, and I never want to eat it as my snack, but I always need to have it in the house to make me feel like we're okay, if that makes any sense. Do you have an item like that in your house where you're like, I don't want to be without this because at some point I'm going to reach for it and it's not going to be there and I'm going to be very angry? Besides toilet paper or something like that.
Well, for my wife, it's the,
like every house
it's the
has
Nespresso
a,
machine.
Every house has a need item where you're like, I gotta have my peanut butter, or gotta have this.
Oh, you mean an actual food item?
Yeah, food item. Yeah, every house has one. I feel like popcorn is it for us.
You know what it is for me? Honestly, this is gonna sound really weird.
Well, it's coming from you, so
it's what I always have to have in the house because I never know when I'm gonna want like two pieces of it. Is Eckrich hard salami?
Really?
Just the regular, not the low fat. Just the regular Eckrich hard salami,
nice
whatever you
salty.
Like. Yeah, it's just and
thinly
it's
sliced.
It's always there. It's always in the house, and I always know if I just want two bites, and it's satisfying enough.
Yeah, you don't go hog wild on
no,
it, but you
literally no.
get a couple pieces in your system
yeah.
and feel decent,
right? Or if like you forgot to get stuff for a kid's lunch, like he'll know, like he'll come up and say, "Why'd you make me salami again? Did you forget to buy me like
why'd you make me salami again?"
yeah,
look right. to your left. You see the kid with the Lunchables whose dad doesn't care about him? That's why. You jerk.
I can't give you Buttig 5 days a week as much as you love it.
Shout out to Carl Buttig and the entire Buttig family.
Every time I mention
what?
You
mess around and make your own sandwiches as a kid, put the whole damn pack on one sandwich.
You're supposed to. That's appropriate. That's an appropriate. That's a serving.
Oh, I used to get my ass chewed out for that, boy.
Why?
Like, hey, two slices. You got to make this Buttig stretch. Like, I'm pretty much eating a bread sandwich right now. What are you doing, Mom?
Get
your ass some overtime so we can get some more lunch meat in here.
No, that's the appropriate amount for a single sandwich.
A whole pack of Buttig lunch meat.
Yes.
You took me back to my childhood. Oh, my God. Shout out to Buttig. Did you ever warm it up as a kid?
Sure.
Yeah.
I do it now.
You still eat it?
All the time.
Well, that's for your kids.
No, it's for me, too.
you're the guy that's eating his kids'
food. I make breadless sandwiches. I get some Buttig, I get some Eckrich hard salami,
like
in between them you put
a romaine lettuce on the outside.
No, just a slice of like Monterey Jack or Colby Jack in between, and then you make layers of the salami, the Buttig, and slices of cheese, and you microwave it for 44 seconds. And then you eat it with a knife and fork. And it just makes like this salty, smoky, fatty, Codless. Cheesy blob.
Well, you got the cheese in there, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You and, man, you're so much more interesting when you're not talking sports. Like, I learned so much more about life when this guy isn't blabbing about AAVs and his bad Blackhawks team that he continues to watch.
I'm done.
No, you're not.
I'm done.
No, you're not. Your son's not done.
He is done.
You have to follow your son.
He wouldn't watch me the other night.
I mean,
I'm not going to watch his games. I'm not going to.
But, I mean, he's a hockey fan, so you guys watch the hockey together.
No, he's playing Fortnite. I've lost him forever.
No, you haven't lost him forever. You guys are going to go to a game, and they're going to do something special for you, put your name up on the Jumbotron or something like that, bring a jersey over,
He likes hockey. He just doesn't want to watch the Blackhawks anymore.
Well, that's what happens when your local team isn't good.
I know. And it's
four games out of the second wild card spot or something like that?
It isn't just not good. It's dispiriting. It's Rocco dispiriting.
Because they're slow, and they don't have it anymore.
I know.
Here we go. Get off your phone. Catch a baseball, kid.
Yeah, there you go. Look alive.
Put the phone down. burn some calories. Buy a car for mom.
The parents are like, yeah. What he said.
Right. I've been telling him for 5 years to get off that damn phone. Yeah, man.
Yeah, good call from the 815. String cheese is a must too. Yes.
I never was a string cheese guy in school. Yeah. Like, people used to walk around like, I got string cheese. I'm like, I don't care. You're gonna be farting in seventh period. I don't.
Actually, that's what I had for seventh period.
Farting.
AP farting.
I got a 4 in the AP test. Knowing when to trust a fart or not here in AP farting. That's actually the teacher's name, AP farting.
An afternoon if there ever was one.
This is what happens when we go straight through an hour and we talk about Yu Darvish and the Hawks. It gets to string cheese and AP farting.
We're
going to
get professional because Sahadev Sharma is going to join us just moments. You know, if you're a fan of big, strong vehicles, you should check out the Toyota Highlander because it has available 5,000-pound towing capacity. And judging from what I've seen here, some of you are going to need it. Because Mama's going to need some help. Mama's stuck in the room again. Some adventures are so big, you have to tow them, which is no problem with the 2018 Highlander. Check it out at the auto show today. You can even tow the cart. What are you doing? Oh, you're over there now. All right, Jason, we've lost Jason. He's wandering off. Bye, hockey. So we are going to have Sahadev Sharma talking about the specifics and the meaning of the Yu Darvish signing coming up next. That was the straight-through 2 to 3 hour that is now a signature part of the Bernstein and Goff Show on The Score.
Bulls fans, your Chicago Bulls can now be heard exclusively on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Rainbow 3, go! What a shot!
Hear every exciting play of Bulls basketball. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, the new official radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
This Olympic report is being brought to you by Peloton.
Westwood One presents this special report on the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympic Winter Games. Brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Get ready for game time and find an agent at farmers.com. Team USA entered the final day of the figure skating team event in third place. And thanks to some impressive individual efforts, held on for hardware. Our very own Paul Wiley has more.
The United States won the bronze medal in the team figure skating event. Mariah Nagasu nailing a triple axel, the first American to land a triple axel in the Winter Olympics. Adam Rippon and the Shibutanis also giving clutch performances. Canada won the gold and the OAR the silver.
The OAR Olympic athletes from Russia. Wiley mentioned Adam Rippon. He finished third in the men's free skate. Not too shabby for his Olympic debut. American Michaela Schifrin will have to wait a bit longer to go after gold in the giant slalom. Strong winds postpone that event. With this update on the 2018 Olympics, I'm Lance Meadow, Westwood One Sports.
Pop quiz. What's the most important part of a ship? Don't answer. It's the crow's nest. Know why? Complete visibility. I can see what's on the horizon and my crew pulling the ship together on the deck below. That's how I run this ship, and that's why we use Grainger. Grainger helps us keep a clear eye on our inventory, saving us time, saving us money, and helping keep everything ship shape. It's always smooth sailing with Grainger. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dance to your own beat this Valentine's Day.
Purchase $699 or more at Helzberg Diamonds and get a free Mega Blast waterproof speaker plus power-up charger with built-in Amazon Alexa, a $339.98 value. Helzberg quality, style, and selection make it easy to find that perfect something, and this incredible speaker makes it a blast. So hurry into Helzberg Diamonds and dance out with this unbeatable offer while supplies last.
This segment's brought to you by CeCe's. At CeCe's, if you don't see what you want on the buffet, you can order your own personal pizza. There's thousands of ways to customize it your way, and it's included with your buffet for just five and change. Only at CeCe's. Dine-in only. Price may vary. Restrictions apply.
I have with me my friend, injury attorney Bradley Dworkin, the Illinois Hammer, who can be reached at 1-800-HURT-NOW. Brad, after a car accident or a work injury, I know your firm has 28 years of experience.
Dustin, I have taught injury classes at the local law school. We are rated A by the Better Business Bureau. Our firm is a leader in injury law in Chicagoland.
Bradley Dworkin, the Illinois Hammer. I know your reputation. You're my friend. Unleash the hammer at 1-800-HURT-NOW. Bradley Dworkin, he's Chicagoland's real attorney.
Miss Andriana Furs after Christmas super sale. Save 60% off every garment, every jacket, every magnificent fur, shearling, or fur-trimmed cashmere coat. Plus, all accessories. Come and get incredible buys on beautiful $10,000 mink jackets. Now only $3,900. Stunning female mink coats. Normally $12,000 are unbelievably priced at $4,700. Take home a 40